Hello and welcome to the Melissa Diaz Report. My name is Melissa Diaz, coming to you live from Austin, Texas. And here we go. What's on the news? What's on the agenda today? Today we're going to cover New York City infrastructure, whether we still have any or not. Then followed by a recent notable poll of Americans' opinions on the state of America. Then we're going to have the latest in income wealth inequality, corporate America, and tech companies to follow after that. And then finally, we'll talk about how Congress is back in session after being off for the month of August, plus some bonus rapid-fire headlines at the end, if you're a good boy or girl or Zay. But in the meantime, this is the Melissa Diaz Report. Let's dive into it. What's going on? Well, first off, the MTA, according to The Gothamist, is having a rough summer. You got new stats released by the agency last week, which shows 138 major incidents or disruptions that delayed 50 or more trains in June and July. For everyone who's been riding the trains, that's a big duh, motherfucker, and what are you going to do about it? But they're not going to do anything about it. Not because they don't necessarily want to. It's because they cannot. You cannot fix this fossil of a transportation system that is the New York City subway. You just can't. You have any idea how bad it is there? I still talk about New York because, you know, I'm from New York. And I know the subway intimately. I had to take it a lot ever since I was a baby. And it is been getting progressively worse. Shortly after COVID, I remember they tried to make everyone who was bitching about New York City infrastructure seem like a fucking MAGA hat wearing Trumpy McTrumpster, you know, sick, sad Susan bitch who just wanted to be a, you know, just dump on some liberal city. But, you know, the years have gone by and now the cat's out of the bag. Or actually, New York City probably wishes that there were more cats out of the bag because there's also a huge rat problem. But be that as it may, the jig is up and we know that New York City is falling apart, especially the subway. And the problem with that is the subway is how the lifeblood of New York City gets pumped, because that's how people travel mainly. That's the best and only way to travel. It used to be anyway, not anymore. I remember at some point I realized, and this is shortly before I moved, and it's probably partly why I was down to move, is at one point going to stand-up comedy gigs, it used to be a breeze. It used to be amazing. And that used to be one of the big advantages of New York City with comedy, is that you could do so many spots, just hop on the train, be there in 15 minutes, hop on the train, be over there, do 3 shows, 5 shows, 6 shows, 10 shows. People would try to one-up each other on how many shows they could do a night. I remember Aaron Berg one time was running around. He did like, I don't know, 15, 16 spots or something. It's on Amazon Prime. You could watch it. And people just were having a wonderful time. There's a lot of cultural cross-pollination because of it. It was really the thing. It's the thing that keeps New York alive. And if the subway dies, if the means of that kind of transportation dies, the city is not going to be the same ever. Because then it will officially either go to the rats or go to the rich. Or actually, they're not mutually exclusive. There are some rich rats and some rat riches. So they can coexist. It's just that there will be places. It is just going to be for the ultra wealthy. You know, Saudi royalty just driving around in drones over the heads of the peasants below. They're going to look down out of their windows and watch as people get eaten alive by rats. And then they're just going to zip off down to the Metropolitan Opera House and just have a wonderful time. And the Met will probably also be in the sky, because the Met is taking Saudi money right now in order to survive. And that's the arts in New York City is not even getting enough funding to not take Saudi money, which nothing inherently wrong with Saudi money necessarily, right? It's just a sign of the times changing. It's the direction it's changing in, and that's where it's going. So I hope you like mandatory hijab requirements for the Met, ladies. So yeah, Anyway, that was a long rant away from the original point. But yeah, the last time MTA saw numbers like the number of disruptions that it had last year was in 2018, when the city's transit system was under a state of emergency. So, but the thing is, look, the subway system is, I think, well over 200 years old. If you have ever read articles about it, you would realize how horrific it is and how dangerous it is that anybody is even still taking the... You should not take the train. Once, but the thing is, there's nothing else to take. Oh, like I was saying. So there was a point before I moved where you would take a bus, but now it's like walking is faster than the bus or the train sometimes. Sometimes you can walk 20 blocks and get where you got to go faster than the transportation. So that's a big issue. That's kind of an issue when you are using the same mode of transportation as the rats, which is just scurrying up Broadway to get where you got to go. And usually a Chipotle, you and the rats, by the way. But this is what's happening. It's a 200-year-old system. I think it's older than that at this point. There's been articles where people, they're just doing journalism about the subway, and they're walking around inside the tunnels with somebody who's guiding them and answering questions. And then they go, hey, what's that lever over there that seems to be cemented into the wall with, you know, centuries of goop and cum, bum cum, I don't know what, and diarrhea and just and dead rats just, you know, pounded by the pressure of the layers of rock into a you know, a cement like goop. It's keeping it all together. Spit and gum and loogies and bum cum and diarrhea and Chinese food. And that is what is holding the subway together. Trust me. And they'd be like, hey, what's that lever for? And people have answered, we don't know. We don't touch that lever. Okay? So potentially there's a lever in the subway where if you pull it, the entire, like all of 34th Street is going to collapse. And I've sat in the subway on, what is it, West 50th Street, where in the CE subway station, I think it's a C and E. Yeah, it's a C and a E and the B, I think. That's Fifth Avenue. No, whatever. You don't care and I don't care. It's Broadway. And the train overhead passes, and the way that that station shook that time, it made me actually cringe and run to an exit just in case, because it felt like the whole thing was going to collapse. And I think it will actually one day, and it's going to be a huge tragedy. And it's because the MTA is in this weird gray area where it's half funded by the government. The government throws money at it, millions, but then they're also supposedly a private company, so then a lot of that money goes to their, you know, 6-7 figure earners, and not enough is going to the infrastructure, and maybe it can't, maybe it's so old that they can't. And that's kind of the situation we're in a lot of the infrastructural issues in the country, is that you think it's a conspiracy, they can't. Through many factors over many decades, the infrastructure is either too old, there was so much nepotism that nobody knows how to run anything in it, their hands are tied with competing private interest groups, lobbyists and all this shit. It's a muck. It's a muck of a lot of layers of shit. It's not a conspiracy. It's that we're gumming up the works with almost too much organization. There's too much, and by organization I mean like every private group, public group, government institution, bureaucracy, right, that have their own methodology of operation, and it's conflicting, they're all colliding, and now tech companies are coming into the mix and changing shit, and the internet is already built in a hodgepodge of bullshit code. If you knew anything about code, you would realize that the internet also is held together by just shoestring paper clips and gum, the equivalent of whatever that is in code. And that's because it's many layers of different phases of coding. So what we're seeing here is that the main problem is that everything is like the MTA now. That's the thing, is that it's it's cemented together by a lot of inefficiency, which sucks. But if you remove the inefficiency, you know what I mean? Like if you remove the bum cum and the centuries of Chinese food takeout, lo mein, and rat bodies that have become liquefied and converted into this cement, all those things, all the piss and the diarrhea and the lo mein and the rat corpses have come together to make probably a compound that NASA should investigate for building things with, because it's actually kept the subway system it's maintained its integrity. So that's actually pretty impressive, but that's like every part of our society right now is whatever the equivalent is of that weird goopy cement of death and Chinese takeout and diarrhea. It's everything is like that. It's version of it, right? Code, government bureaucracy, lobbyist groups, all of this, NGOs, all of the fucking UN, they're all held together by the same version of goop that applies to them. And that's why we're feeling it. And nobody is fixing it. I don't think they even know how at this point. You know what I mean? But the problem with that is that then resentment starts to fester. And eventually there's going to be an uprising if they don't do anything. And they know that, right? So they're building robot dogs and shit. And then the people that are on top are only interested at this point. You can tell how much hope there is by the fact that nobody's actually trying to fix anything, even when they get in office, like even Trump. They're mostly just trying to pay back their buddies and steal a lot of money, right? And move a lot of money around. It's not like they're like overt stealing, right? It's in your face, but it's like move a lot of money around so that it's easier to catch in their money bags, and run away to probably, I don't know, south of France. South of France is code for there's still more white people here than not. Do you know what I mean? So this is the state of the union. This is it. And this is how it's going to go out. This is how it's going to go down. We've outlived our utility as a nation in this form, in its current form, in its current iteration. This nation is done. I'm not as pessimistic as I don't think it's going to be like a complete fall of the republic thing, at least not right away. I think we got some time, but without reform, this shit is going to fucking go downhill. It's just what's going to happen. It's fine. It's okay. Just make your plans. Get your passports. Don't get real ID without a passport. Get a passport more than a real ID, because passports will be probably relevant for a while. And real IDs, I don't know. Those are still kind of suspect. I don't know, as far as I'm concerned. I don't like the biometric data shit. But anyway, biometric data, look it up. They're going to try to fix the subway trains, but they're not going to succeed. And every year there's going to be a rainy season and it's going to flood higher and higher. And people won't really notice that it's an issue until it's up to their necks. And then somebody, something happens. And so, say goodbye to the subway. Invest in drone technology, because we're heading to our fifth element era, where you're going to want a flying car to get over all of this shit, because it's the only way through this issue with the failing infrastructure is to have a futuristic Venice situation. Instead of gondolas, you have drone gondolas. And you're just on air currents instead of water, because that's what you got to do. Right, the best way through is over or around or something, because right now the best way through is not through it, because it's full of dead rats and bum cum. So don't worry about it. I think we'll get there. We got the drones. What has the MTA been trying to do to solve this problem? Well, they've been investing in a lot of art. For example, they have a new art installation that's comprised of a sound, basically 24 poetic announcements delivered in six languages, which is meant to disrupt gently your daily life. According to the artist who put in these installations, she says her slogan is, if you hear something, free something, which is basically a play on if you see something, say something, post 9/11 era. Now we're like post 9/11, right? We're being very postmodern about it. And if you hear something, free something, I guess like within you or some shit like that. And then the artist goes on to say, these announcements ask you to consider the space around you, the people around you, and your own emotional state a little bit differently, she said. It's my hope that this project actually gives people back a little bit of their interior life in public space. So there's 14 stations in which you can find these installations are nudging us to consider our emotional states between now and October 5th. That's going to be exactly what we're doing here. And that's where they're investing money from the MTA is you. It's, you know, because what's wrong with the MTA, you know, it's not the rats and it's not the unhoused, right? It's not the homeless and it's not people with mental issues who are not receiving any health care, mental help, outreach, communities, anything. It's not the gentrification and it's not the high cost of living and it's not the fact that people are fucking struggling to survive but they also can't get enough money together to escape. Meanwhile, all of the luxury high rises are really just glorified investment assets by just international billionaires, Saudi money, Qatari money, you know, European money, American money, just all of these rich people around the world just taking up real estate and keeping them empty, by the way. They're empty, a lot of these luxury high-rises they're building, because they're just for investment purposes. And meanwhile, people are living in tents in the subway. Actually, we also have mole people in the subway. And all of those problems, we're going to solve them by you being the problem, is what the issue is. You need to fix your emotional state. You need to free yourself. That's what they're trying to tell you. Free yourself of the expectation of living like a human being. Because soon you will be living like the rats. And that's why they're getting rid of the rats, to make room for you, dear commuter. And eventually they'll be a rat czar for, you know, regular people too, and poor people. And then they'll get rid of them also. So free yourself. You know, you free yourself of New York City, actually. That's what you should do. Anyway, next up, according to a recent poll, nearly 70% of Americans believe it's no longer true that if you work hard, you will get ahead, according to a new Wall Street Journal poll. Respondents cited difficulties in purchasing a home and general economic fragility as contributors to their lack of faith in the American dream. The poll also found that only 25% of Americans, which is a record low, feel that they have a good chance of improving their standard of living. Now, here's a caveat to this. I recently read a book called The Power Elite with a very disgruntled Columbia sociology professor writing a book about this very same issue. And it's actually very enlightening. The beginning, the last part, it kind of falls apart because I think he just got so upset by his own research that it's a lot of finger wagging at the end. But the beginning is a lot of research done into the rich of this country. And I'll tell you something right now. In 1953, people were already saying that it's not true. If you work hard, you will get ahead, because that's where the saying comes from. Or maybe even before the 1950s, the saying we're all familiar with, which is, it's who you know. And that has been around, according to his book, it's been around at least since the 1950s, because he mentions it. So this is kind of a little peek behind the curtain of the media and how it always tries to make it seem like things are becoming bad, like things are worse than they ever have been before, when sometimes the thing that they're talking about has always been that way. And what's changed is maybe the scope of it, the scale of it. Maybe it has gotten worse, but it's ever present in that you're not sure if it's always going to get worse. Maybe it's like a cycle of the same bullshit, just like capitalism is a cycle, right? Ups and downs. And that's why we have the Fed, because supposedly, according to them, they're the heroes over here, the ones who, you know, keep a lid on the excesses of the capitalist cycle of boom and bust. But I wanted to share that because it's interesting that the Wall Street Journal is trying to paint this as a recent development. It has always been this way. It will always be this way. So don't freak out, because this has always been the way it's going to be. Don't let them scare you about shit like that. Be scared of riding the subway. You see what I'm saying? And that's the thing they kind of keep trying to distract you from with artist installations that just parrot stupid, vapid platitudes at you in one of 14 stations across the city to distract you and make you free yourself, your emotion, to not be tense, to free yourself, right? This is what the government is invested in New York City, the state government, is to, you know, not actually address the infrastructural issues with the MTA. It's to just make people feel less stressed by just deluding them with a bunch of bullshit, claptrap, bullshit, platitude bullshit. And that's what they do. And so you always look at where they're trying to distract you and ignore what they're trying to point you towards, because it's always, most of the time, bullshit. Then it's just, It's easy to navel gaze and talk about, oh, it's not who you know, and that's if you work hard, we don't believe that you'll get ahead anymore. Nobody ever believed that shit, okay? Nobody who fucking has their head on their shoulders and has taken a good look around this earth has ever believed that there has been a true meritocracy, okay? No. Already? No. Niet. Okay? No. No. How many languages can I say that in? That was it, actually. I don't know how to say it in Japanese, or I would. Anyway, in a related number, 7.2 million, that's the number of unemployed workers in the United States, surpassing job openings for the first time since 2021, according to Wednesday's official figures. The weaker-than-expected data triggered an initial global bond sell-off. And in other news that's related to that, workplace fentanyl positivity surges 400% in 5 years as random testing reveals contaminated drug supply. There you go. So you can't even poison yourself with poison that you want to poison yourself with. You can't even do drugs without it being laced with fentanyl. You can't drink water without it being microplastics. But again, this is actually because of so many good developments in the past, right? This country has built structure upon structure upon structure, just like the MTA. But eventually, it starts to compound. It starts to have inefficiencies. It doesn't add up after a while, because these are different stages and interests and generations of people with different wants and needs and greed and directions for power and wealth, right? Changes with the wind. So it starts to, the structure starts to lean and topple and fall apart in places, and then they tape it up and they keep going because they want to ride this fucking car till the wheels fall off. That's what they want, and that's what a nation is for. Nation building is probably one of the original startups, and so they're going to ride it till the money doesn't, you know, they're going to squeeze it. They're going to squeeze this rock for water if it's possible. And the fentanyl is just, it's just another startup from China, from Mexico, from, I don't know, Colombia. I don't know where it's coming from other than Mexico and China at the moment. But, you know, it's just, these are drugs, black market startups just trying to insert their product into the regular product. And it's happened to our food. That's why our food has an endless list of ingredients now. It's just all companies just trying to insert themselves, make a little bit of money. But these are businesses of regular people, really, and not very intelligent people, if you've met them. I've started to meet a couple of rich people. They're not all that smart. Not all of them. They don't care about literature and shit like that. They're not keeping it from you. They don't care about it either. They love Kanye. and stuff like that. They love ignorant shit. They love it, just like you do. They just have a little bit more, you know, privilege, advantage, perspective, you know what I mean? And also, they also have, you know, hard work, doing all that other stupid bullshit, and like cleverness, right? So, you know, whatever. Then they end up making a lot of money. So you got that. Be careful with your drugs, because there's a lot of fentanyl in them now. Don't do drugs. How about that for a little while? We should take a chill pill with the drugs. America now has 1,135 billionaires worth $5.7 trillion collectively, up from 927 in 2020. It's been a lot of billionaires being made. And these are people that invested in crypto and this and that, right? It's like speculators and investments. The problem is that they really should teach people to learn about these things, about investments and hedge fund management and startup culture. Not everybody's going to be some kind of CEO, but at least we'll know where to go get a fucking job, right? Where the money is. And also trades. They don't teach people trades. They don't teach people how to cook in school anymore. They don't, it's like, they used to teach home ec for girls, and they used to teach woodshop for boys. And the thing is, it's like feminism happened and made a lot of valid points about, like, you know, women shouldn't just learn this. They need to diversify their skill sets and knowledge base. And wouldn't it be interesting even for women, stimulating even, to learn more, to learn to read maybe perhaps, and maybe vote and participate as a... And the thing is, it's like they were like, all right, fine. And then they just got rid of home ec and woodshop altogether. Instead of just letting girls do woodshop and boys do home ec, they just got rid of the... So now we live in a world where the schools are completely fucking useless. They teach you fantasy history, bullshit history, and they don't teach you math well. So you don't learn anything. You don't learn shit. And literature, it's like, you can't teach people to like literature. So they just give a bunch of people shit to read that they don't want to read. And then you graduate and you don't even know what the fuck happened with your life. You should just drop out of those schools. Drop out, go to a trade school, learn how to cook, and then study, you know, read up on investment. That's it. So that when you make all your money in trade, you invest all your shit and then just keep that shit invested and just collect the interest. That's what you got to do. Shit like that. Okay. Because, you know, they're not interested in teaching anybody anything real. It's a waste of time for them, right? They want to make money. They don't want you also to make money. Just compete with them. Most billionaires didn't make wealth in tech, according to this article, with about 300 coming from banking and finance versus 110 from technology. See what I'm saying? One third inherited their wealth, big surprise, including 50 heirs from five major families controlling $830 billion, or 15% of total billionaire wealth, which actually, I guess, is kind of lower than I would have guessed. I don't know what that means about me or the number. I don't know if that matters. But 15, it's not an insignificant percentage, but it is a lot lower than I thought it would be. Billionaires have donated $185 billion since 2015, primarily to education and medical research. See, they're trying. They're throwing us their scraps. Come on, people. However, about 25% have given less than $1 million over the past decade, with wealth concentrated among 100 controlling $3.86 trillion. Yes. And so that is according to the Wall Street Journal. Yeah. I mean, those are the billionaires, but then there's the millionaires. And the millionaires are actually, you know, that doesn't mean what it used to be. A millionaire is a middle-class person at this point, especially if they're living in a city like New York, where you have to invest in a drone, flying car, because you can't take the subway anymore because it'll kill you one day. Millionaires... Okay, for example, a lot of people in Congress are millionaires. If a person in Congress is not a millionaire, you're not going to read about them because they don't have enough money to run again or even win the incumbency a lot of the time, right? They get funding and they make money. They make millions. Those are Congress people. So, for example, earlier this year, Minnesota Representative Ilhan Omar, she told Business Insider that she had been a victim to, quote, a coordinated right-wing disinformation campaign, which alleged that she was worth millions of dollars. But this week, the Washington Free Beacon actually reported that she and her husband, Tim Minot, are worth between $6 and $30 million. Isn't that interesting? So she walks around, you know, she looks like she's married to the fucking Captain Phillips guy that takes over the boat. And she looks like she's waiting for him back on shore for the money that he's going to pirate from the boat for with the hostage money. But she's actually worth, she's a millionaire. She is a millionaire. And the thing about Congress people, this is supposed to be a very big gotcha moment, but they're all like her. And that's why you shouldn't trust politicians in that sense, because they're always going to try to depict themselves as one of you, but they're not, because they sold their souls to not be one of you. And rightly so, because you're in the subway and they're not. See what I mean? And that's how you get to be a millionaire. It's taking a lot of private interest together, making a little bundle of it, getting your shit together, so to speak, and running for office. That's a way to get out of, that rat race, the rat race that everybody's running everywhere, right? Because New York City may have the rat problem, but we're all in the rat race. So how does that work out? I don't know. Anyway, the latest in tech news, Google. A judge spared the company harsh penalties after it was found to have a monopoly on online research. You see what I mean? And the thing is, it's like, look, a judge ordered Google to hand over its search results and some of its data to rival companies to curb its dominance of the online search market. And this is similar to when airlines were being bailed out, and when all of these investment companies were being bailed out during the crash. It's the term floated around was too big to fail. And that's the thing, right? It's like the subway, right? It's, you have to keep throwing money on it. You can't just let it crumble and rebuild something else. It would be so disruptive. But so you have to just let these things exist as they are. Then these fucking dinosaurs just eating up everything constantly. Not efficient as they could be. Not new. Right? Not renewed. It's just the same old bullshit. And it's going to be like that until they just crumble to dust and nobody can make money off of them anymore. Because they actually, it sounds like bullshit, but they are keeping everything running. And the rich people are too afraid to let that go. Because it challenges, you know what I mean? It's going to make everybody into a communist is the problem, right? Eventually, the resentment's going to fester till people become radicalized like they are already. They're shooting CEOs in the street. They're threatening more people. The New York Times editor-in-chief got blood splashed, or no, red paint splashed all over the front of his building in Greenwich, right? And it's what happens. That's the thing, right? It's kind of like we're between a rock and a hard place right now. And, whatever. We're between Washington and the MTA subway system. And that's kind of where you're going to be, right? These companies are going to get bailed out because that's all they can do. That's all they know to do. You don't have, and it's not like you have any good ideas either. I don't, right? You don't have any good ideas about how to solve this. And neither do they, because they're not like hyper intelligent. And the ones that are fucking, a lot of them are in tech and they're creeps, right? And they're like doing longevity research. They look like fucking autistic vampires. And what they're interested in is other shit. They want like immortality and things like that. They just want what's best for their companies, like Zuckerberg, right? They don't care, like Bezos. They don't care about solving anything. They just want to add on, right? They want to jump on that boat that's already overflowing with bullshit. Anyway, finally, we got Congress, which returned to Capitol Hill yesterday after its six-week break. Their to-do list is stacked and messy, some lawmakers diving right in. Congress released more than 30,000 pages of the Epstein-related documents yesterday, or not, a couple days ago, though most were already public. That's not good enough for people. They want the list. Nobody's releasing the lists. Eight women who say they were abused by convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein spoke at a bipartisan press conference hosted by Representatives Thomas Massie and Ro Khanna on Wednesday, pleading for the Justice Department to release more information related to disgraced financier. Meanwhile, President Trump maintained that the Epstein issue is a Democrat hoax that never ends. Yeah, okay, whatever. Before it was a Republican hoax. An Epstein survivor warned yesterday that if the Department of Justice keeps sitting on the documents, victims may drop their own list of names. And this is the problem, right? If it were just as simple as, rich people, what are you going to do? We got to bail them out. This is how we keep the country going. The problem is that as people gain power, many people become tempted to abuse the power. And in particular, and people will look the other way about some of the excesses, right? Bribery, money laundering, right? Ponzi schemes and things like that. People kind of laugh at it. But they are now starting to actually abuse people's children, which is an issue. And no accountability, no explanation, no face-to-face, candid talking to the public about this thing, which is so personal to people, right? It's like your fear of something happening, something terrible to your children in an era where there's all this news about child pornography proliferating on the internet. There's like neo-Nazi group 795, 786, whatever the fuck that group is, right? That goes into kids' chats and video chats. I don't know exactly what's going on with that. And they entice them to self-harm and all this stuff. It's like all this shit's going on. And the Epstein thing is, it's like you can't have elites doing this shit like that, like just free range running around on a private island, raping people's kids. Can't do it. Can't have that, right? And people don't want that. And this is the line in the sand. And this is where the resentment starts to build, because people will put up with a lot, but not you kidnapping their kids and doing shit to them. You know what I mean? Like, come on. Can we agree that that's a line that maybe should be frowned upon more than already has been? I mean, really, really. This is one of those things like JFK assassination, where if you don't just fucking put it all out on the table, nobody's ever going to forget this. And it's already, this is another strike against this status quo. And the problem is like you keep notching more and more of those on the wall. You know, eventually people are going to rise up. And I don't know if your robot dogs are going to stop it. I'm not sure. Well, we'll see, though. I'm going to invest in a harp so I can go and play it while Rome burns. What else is going on? Oh, yeah. Senate GOP leaders. Okay. Yeah, we're going to have another looming shutdown as usual. All right. It's like that's another issue, right, where, you know, every week it's another potential shutdown. I mean, that's how we're passing policy now, is like throwing a tantrum. A whole crisis has to be trumped up so that we can make something happen or make nothing happen. A bipartisan pair of lawmakers will join survivors who are to demand more new files be released. Yeah, good luck with that. Meanwhile, Senate GOP leaders want a short-term funding patch to dodge a September 30th shutdown, while Democrats push for concessions. Republicans are also weighing the rule changes to fast-track President Donald Trump's nominees for key jobs, including the Federal Reserve Governor, Bureau of Labor Statistics Chair, and Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Director. And that's just me telling you, you know, what's up locally. But then on top of that, Trump is piling on his own demands. He wants, for example, lawmakers to extend his 30-day takeover of the D.C. police past its September 9th expiration, a move Senate Democrats are almost certain to block. Trump also wants Republicans to pull together a sweeping crime bill on the double. The challenge is whether Congress can finish its must-dos while juggling the priorities Trump keeps layering on. And that's it. And so that's all that. Add the Epstein files over that, and the potential fallout will test the support from his base. This is according to Politico. So that is the news, essentially. All right, we got some extra goodies. What's going on here? Lima, Peru. Authorities say they're investigating the possibility that Monday's shooting death of an Indonesian diplomat was a contract killing. Footage shows the assassins were waiting outside his apartment and fled without taking anything. I'm just dropping that there for you so you know the dirty shit that's going on with politics and the rich, right? They are turning into factions. They're turning into thugs. They're turning into unsanctioned mobs, basically. Mob as in, like, you know, like a crime syndicate, right? Like a cartel. And a little bit more, if they slide a little bit more down from there, that's basically feudalism, right? So, but right now we're kind of headed towards maybe more like medieval Italy, the Medici's, right? All the infighting between all the wealthy people. A lot of people are getting assassinated and have been for the last 20 years. You could look that up if you want. I don't know, do research. Longevity research. The Dominican Republic's former mission in London is on the market for $13 million. The Dominicans moved out of the 1840s era townhouse back in 2021 after wealthy neighbors won a bid to block them from using the property as an embassy. Nobody likes Dominicans. I just wanted to put that out there. Giuliani was in a pretty serious car accident recently, which sucks. And Trump is saying he will award him the Presidential Medal of Freedom. I think he would rather have his spleen back, but okay. Apartment building, New York Times executive editor vandalized with red paint. It was a pro-Gaza vandalization or whatever. Is that a word? Fashion designer Giorgio Armani dead at 91. And rumors of President Trump's death swirled on social media over the weekend. And finally, in ruling Trump's Los Angeles deployment illegal, a federal judge accused Trump of turning Marines and National Guard soldiers into a national police force. All right, that's local and foreign news for ya. That's all I got time for today. Thank you for tuning in to the Melissa Diaz Report. I've been Melissa Diaz, and now I'm out. Stay tuned for next Monday when I'm back with more on my bullshit stuff. All right, thanks for listening. I really appreciate it. Thanks for tuning in. And I hope to hear from you soon, or I hope you hear from me on Monday. I hope you tune in again. In the meantime, enjoy your weekend, and I will too. All right? I'm making Trace Leches. It's going to be fucking dope. All right. Stay good. Stay gold. Bye.